grateful for your presence in our life. As we spend the period of Lent, especially this week begins the Holy Week, we lift up our heart to you, and we have deep desire to experience your grace even more as a new day breaks out for us. This beautiful Sunday morning, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of your Son Jesus from the dead, let today be the day that change our heart by your power, by your Holy Spirit, to dwell on your words, your promise, rather than what we think this life is all about, to give us wisdom and knowledge to understand yours from heaven. We humbly present ourselves to you. We don't deserve anything like your love and your grace, yet you said you will be gracious to whom you will be gracious, and we believe that we are the object of your grace. We thank you for that. And we commit our heart to your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. According to church calendar, today is actually a Palm Sunday. But let me begin with this. There are situations we desperately want to get out of them, but we still find them in our lives. Those situations could be your health. You have developed a debilitating physical condition, and doctors cannot do anything about it. Or it could be your financial situations. You have worked hard for so many years, and yet paying the bills seems to be always a challenge. Or it could be your job situations that don't seem to go anywhere. Or it could be that you really hate your work, but there is no alternative. Or it could be that your relationship with certain people, friends, siblings, in-laws, your boss, your subordinates, or your colleagues, etc. For those who are parents, your heart may be aching because of some issues related with your children, like their health, schooling, or even their behavior, etc. In many cases, these issues are something that which may not be in your control, and constantly make you frustrated with heavy burdens. Then the real question is, how do I live under those situations that never seem to go away from my life? We would ask God to remove those so-called bad circumstances, and we should. However, in some cases, God may answer your prayer and you'd get out of bad situations, but in some other cases, the bad circumstances may not disappear from you. And while those bad circumstances are still in your life, they may impact your spiritual life negatively. And you keep asking God, why? Why those problems do not disappear from my life? Under those bad circumstances, we would not want to get stuck in the pit of bad mood, negativity, anger, resentment, even depression. In spite of those bad circumstances, we will still need to cultivate a healthy spiritual life that is worthy to the Lord. But how can you do that? Today, from the life of Apostle Paul, we would learn how to live a godly, healthy life in spite of bad circumstances. Would you please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We are going to read verses 7 through 10. Second Corinthians 7 through 10, and here's word of the Lord. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he has said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Apostle Paul, in this chapter, 2 Corinthians 12, before this passage, he shared his amazing experience with the Lord. He even caught up to paradise, he said, and he experienced the third heaven. We don't know what they are, but I believe that in paradise, Apostle Paul met Jesus himself. And in spite of all these extraordinary revelations he experienced with God, he recognized his weakness. He termed it here in verse 7, a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. So what is a thorn in the flesh, Apostle Paul is referring to? He described it as a messenger of Satan to torment him. It looked like this may hamper the effectiveness of his ministry when it visited him. And that's why I believe he termed it as a messenger of Satan to torment him. And it seems that this thorn afflicts his physical body. It may be a problem with some health issue that the Corinthians people would know well, because he was there spending a lengthy time with the Corinthian people. But we are not given details about this thorn in the flesh of Paul. And if we infer this issue from Galatians chapter 4, verse 13 through 14, let me read it for you. In Galatians 4, 13 through 14, Apostle Paul said, Though my condition was a trial to you, you didn't scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. So it sounds like while he was doing his ministry, this weakness or sickness, took place in a visible, way that people would know what that was. And it would be reasonable to infer this thorn in the flesh may have been some kind of chronic debilitating disease such as epilepsy or a similar kind, so that it's a visible, that everybody knew about this. Anyhow, this thorn in the flesh is that which Apostle Paul was not in control, and that which he had to live with it for the time being, and that which he cannot get rid of it. And he only wished to live without it, but he couldn't. So in verse 8, concerning this, I implore the Lord three times that it might leave me. So Apostle Paul, like any of us, asked God in prayer to get rid of this problem. And this English translation used the word implore. Implore has seriousness here. And he implored God three times that he might leave him. And the word implore is parakaleo in Greek manuscript, which has a connotation of making a strong request or appeal. Imploring the Lord three times is not that he casually prayed just for three times. But each time he made a serious petition with perhaps that lasted for certain days, a certain designated period he set out, possibly even with fasting. And he did that three times in his life in the past. He desperately wanted to be delivered from it by God's power. But look at verse 9. And he said to me, I believe he could be God or Jesus himself, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So the Lord did not get rid of this issue from Paul's life. Instead, the Lord said his profound words, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. The word is sufficient. In Greek manuscript is arche, which is a present form of archeo, which means suffice or is sufficient. So my grace is sufficient for you is an ongoing reality of God's grace that is to be experienced not just once for all, but on a moment-by-moment fashion. And grace of God would never run out of its capacity. Rather, it would give a surpassing power over the best situations on an ongoing basis. That's what God is speaking to the Apostle Paul. And the reason why God's grace is sufficient is given by this expression, for power is perfected in weakness. What does that mean? The word for power in Greek manuscript is dunamis. Dunamis always refer to God's power and God's might, God's strength, or even God's force and God's capability. And, you know, English word dynamite later actually came out of this Greek word dunamis. I don't think Apostle Paul knew dynamite, but somewhat English later when they invented dynamite, actually it comes from this word dunamis. But God's power is much bigger than dynamite, right? So we can say that, you know, this may be related to dynamite. And the word for weakness, which means a state of debilitating illness or sickness, or it could mean incapacity to do something, experience of limitations, etc. So the weakness seems to be a physical condition that made Apostle Paul incapable of doing that which he wants to do. Probably this was one of the hindrances of his ministry. That's why he even asked God, he implored God three times to remove that, but God didn't. So he bore with this debilitating condition of his body for the rest of his life. And this power of God is made perfection when we are weak. So this is something that we need to learn and experience it. And when God says power is perfected in weakness, this means the power of God brings to full measure in our weakness. If we are strong, this measure of God may not impact us, so we just live with our own strength when everything is going well. But through this weakness, God's power is made perfect, or God's power is measured to its full capacity in us, so that we can live. This seems to be paradoxical, isn't it? How can God's power is made perfect in weakness. It sounds like paradoxical. You know, God is saying, however, Paul, my power reaches its full capacity when you are the weakest. That is where you can access my supernatural strength. So my answer to your prayer, Paul, is no. I am not going to remove this thorn in the flesh from you. That's basically what Jesus is saying in this passage. And look at verse 10. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insult, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So this confession of Paul gives a different perspective of life. You know, our contentment does not have to depend on the circumstances, especially, you know, good ones. You know, we tend to be satisfied when things are going well, but when things are not going well, we tend to be discontent. But Apostle Paul's confession is basically, it's a different life perspective. It's a different mindset. No matter what happens in my life, I still find my contentment because through my weakness, I find the strength of God in me. You know, we tend to be content only if we can get rid of the problems of our life, which is the thorn in the flesh, your own version of thorn in the flesh. But contentment resulting from that would only be temporary and imperfect. The next time we get into another bad circumstance, we would not be content again because our contentment depends on the circumstances. So this vicious cycle will go on and on as long as your mood or your attitude depends on the outcome of the circumstances. This is not something that we should depend on. Actually, we should get out of this mindset. I'll be happy when things are well. I'll be unhappy when things are not well. Those cycle will go on. I guarantee you that you will get into another bad circumstance one after another. You may get into good circumstance once in a while, but don't depend on that. That shouldn't affect your mood, or that shouldn't affect your spiritual life. The real contentment not depending on the circumstances come from when we embrace our weakness as part of life reality, as we are giving the control of our life to Jesus Christ. When Christ's control over your life, our weakness or bad circumstances become a catalyst to invite God's power to overtake us so that supernatural contentment comes in our heart. Our cup overflows when we allow the power of God to fill up our cup. But so naturally, no one would love to be weak. No one would like to live under bad circumstances. We love to be in control of our lives so that because the control gives us a sense of power. When we are in control of our life, that gives some sense of power, but that power is actually superficial power. It's not real power. It would drain you more, actually. But naturally, we would be mad at God over the bad circumstances of our lives. You know, when we lose the control of them, especially, we'd be mad at God. When we are mad at God, we have no access to God's grace. And under this situation, God's grace seems utterly insufficient. But the truth of the matter is that God's grace does not flow to our life when we try to control our own life. Because, you know, that's what this law of, you know, flow of God's, you know, grace. As long as we try to hold the control of our own life, we cannot experience God's grace. We have to release that. And only then we get to experience God's grace. And we need God's grace, but unless and until we let go of our control of our lives, we will not experience God's power. As long as we cannot accept our weaknesses, God's grace does not get activated for us. Complaint is natural, and contentment is supernatural. Do you know that? If you do nothing, you're going to have a lot of complaints, a lot of grumbling hearts, you know, asking God, why this happened to me, God? But contentment is to be cultivated by the supernatural presence of God in our life when we admit our weakness before God. Read verse 10 once more. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For I am, when I am weak, I am strong. So Apostle Paul learned to live with these bad circumstances of his life. He implored God 3 times, but it didn't disappear. So he decided to live with it, but in that he find contentment. That's the secret here. Our contentment comes when we learn to be content with the thorn in the flesh still, you know, present in our life. Whether that be weakness, insult, distress, persecution, or difficulties. But the key word is for Christ's sake. And this contentment of life comes from the notion that our life in itself is not for our own, but it's for Christ. This means we give Jesus the glory, not ourselves. And when you have this life perspective, no matter what the circumstances are, we find contentment in Jesus Christ. Jesus gives this grace to those who surrender to Him. Are you content or not? What is your emotion this morning? Are you fully content of your life or the other way around? Let me say this. The lack of contentment is evidence that your life is not fully given to the Lord. You know, if you are not content somehow, you're not happy with your life, with your job, with your marriage, with your children, whatever the reason, if you're not content, that's the evidence that your life is not fully given to the Lord. You're still in control of your life, and you try to live by your own strengths. That's why you may not have contentment in life now. And you are discontent because it is you who are in the center of your life. And you are mad at God because it is you who are still in control of your life. And with discontentment and resentment, there is no room in your heart for grace of Jesus to penetrate and grow and give you satisfaction. So this morning, I'd like to give 3 steps based on today's passage and how to lead our life full of contentment as a summary statement. The first step is embrace your weakness. Embrace your weakness. It is nothing wrong to lift up your weakness in your prayer to God. Apostle Paul did. He expressed that he is thorn in the flesh. He asked God to remove it. So he acknowledged that he has weaknesses. If you remember Luke 22, in the last prayer of Jesus at Gethsemane before he was arrested, Jesus knelt down and prayed this way, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." You know, even Jesus admitted, embrace his own weakness. Basically, what Jesus was saying, Father, if it is your will, I don't want to take this cross. Because this is too much burden for me. You know, too much suffering that is ahead of me. I don't want to receive this punishment, if that is your will. That was what Jesus was praying. So even Jesus embraced his own weakness. He confessed that I have the thorn in the flesh. God, please remove it from me if you can. That's what Jesus prayed. But second step, after embrace your weakness, release the control of your weakness to God. That's the second step. In Jesus' prayer, same prayer, after he said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, Jesus did not stop his prayer when he asked for the removal of the cup. And he continued on with this prayer, but not by my will, but yours be done. So at that moment, Jesus basically released the control of his life to his Father's will. The secret is to give the control of your life to the hands of God. And once you do that, the power of God's grace will flow into your heart so that God's grace becomes sufficient for you to prevail, actually. And God begins to control over you, and you will find contentment and satisfaction. So let me ask you, who has the control of your life, you or God? And depending on your answer, your contentment or discontentment of life will be determined. Contentment is learned by inviting supernatural grace to overtake you. In that sense, contentment is to be cultivated. It's not natural. It's supernatural. You have to allow a Holy Spirit come into your life so that you are under control of the Holy Spirit. If you will turn with me to Philippians 4, Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. This is the confession of Apostle Paul when he was in the prison. He was about to die, but he was able to make this confession. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You know, at this juncture of his life, the thorn in the flesh still might be in his life, and now he's imprisoned. And he knew that his life will expire very soon by the persecution, by the death penalty. But Apostle Paul confessed that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So even in the prison cell, he found the grace of Jesus flowing into his heart because he surrendered, you know, all his wishes and dreams and hopes in the hands of Jesus Christ. And learn to be content in the power of Jesus who gives the strength to prevail over any kind of circumstances, good or bad. When you release the control of your circumstances to the Lord, you are cultivating a life of contentment. You know, we think that we might do that, but actually we don't. But this needs to be practiced moment by moment, day by day. And the third one, and rest in the grace of God. After you embrace your weakness and release the control of your weakness to the Lord, and rest in the grace of God. God's grace is like manna. One moment at a time, one day at a time, we need to embrace the sufficiency of God's grace and dwell in the rest of God. And this is an ongoing cultivation of the heart, and this is an ongoing learning of the mind, and this is an ongoing practice of our behavior. The toughest days were waiting for Jesus when he entered Jerusalem on a Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago. Once he was resolute to do the will of the Father, Jesus rested in the grace of his Father through storms of his life. Probably the most treacherous storms yet to be faced on the last week of his life. But he rested in the grace of God, his Father. Even with all insults and coming sufferings, pains and betrayals and humiliation and even the fear of death, Jesus did not speak to defend himself. He was silent because he gave up the control of his life to his Father. And dying on the cross, Jesus was actually the most satisfied man on the whole earth. He was cut off at the age of 33. He's probably younger than most of you in this room. And he was insulted, not because of his own sin, but because he bore others' sin. And he suffered to bear the heaviest weight of the punishment of all sins ever committed by humanity. You know, the people who lived before him, people who lived in his time, and people who lived, you know, after him, he bore all the sins onto himself. Think about the heavy burden laid upon his shoulder. The thing is, yet he was fully satisfied at the cross as he was doing his Father's will. How do I know? How do we know he was satisfied? Isaiah 53:11. Let me read it for you. Or you can write it down and then meditate on this verse. Isaiah 53:11, it says, as the result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. This is a prophetic word of Isaiah to see Jesus hanging on the cross, bearing all this suffering and pain and anguish, and yet Jesus looking at himself, hanging on the cross, and he was satisfied. Jesus suffered the anguish of his soul. He carried this anguish all the way to the cross until he breathed his last breath. His thorn of the flesh will never disappear, which is taking the cross. That was the hardest thing that he could do. And God did not wave him. God did not remove this burden of taking cross from life of Jesus. And his suffering never went away, yet he was satisfied by looking at his anguish on the cross. Why? Because Jesus surrendered. Jesus gave the control of his life to the Father's promise. Jesus dwelled on the grace of his Father even at the most terrible circumstances, which never disappeared from him. He took it with him all the way. And he lived through the storms in the light of God's grace, and he was fully satisfied. That is the picture of our life ought to be. And I wish that God answer your prayer. You know, God answer my prayer. Take away my own thorn in the flesh. Something that which I cannot control. Bad circumstances that always lingers, never seem to disappear. However, God may not do that because God wants us to grow to the full extent so that our cup would overflow with His grace. In order for that experience, in order for us to experience that, you know, the thorn in the flesh may still linger, and we need to learn how to be content, even with that. Even if God would not remove the thorn in the flesh, I would be glorifying God. I would be praising you. I would be content. I would be fully satisfied with my life, even with those things still lingering in my life. So each passing moment, each passing day, give your life control to the Lord, moment by moment. And the Lord will give His strength to you such that His grace will really be sufficient for you and me, no matter how bad circumstances find you and me. Then you will be content and fully satisfied in the grace of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you know, nothing can be compared to your suffering, your bad circumstances. You went through horrific, terrible thorn in the flesh that never disappeared from you, the burden of the cross. And yet you courageously took it and showed us example how to live. Father, let us learn to be content, even if bad circumstances will never disappear from us. Even if you would not remove those bad circumstances out of our life, let us be content. Let us grow into cultivating your grace into our life. For power is made perfect when we are weak, and we admit our weakness. We admit that, you know, we may have these circumstances that never go away, you know, difficult marriage and difficult job situation, or children issue and finance and health. There could be many, many bad circumstances that plague us. But Father, from now on, let us live a life of contentment by allowing these bad circumstances as a catalyst to receive your grace more and more into our cup. Father, we thank you that you know, we have the revelation of the truth and the grace of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is our high priest and intercessor and lover of our soul. Let the grace of Jesus flow into our heart every moment, even now. You know, whatever stress and distress and agony and anxiety, even fear that we may suffer with today, we cast all these things out into your hands. We give the full control of our life into your hands, God, so that you would give the power of your grace that is surpassing all other difficulties and troubles of our life, to give us contentment, give us satisfaction. We are so thankful that we have known Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That in and of itself is a reason why we can praise you even now and every day, in spite of the storms that we may go through in our life. We confess that we are completely yours. We surrender all to you to experience your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Holy,
holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Worthy of every song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me with your surround me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Father, you are so wonderful, and we praise you. Thank you that you revealed yourself through your Son Jesus, so that when we can't comprehend you, we can understand you through your Son Jesus, who is your invisible image of God in flesh, so that we can associate who you are like and what you are like. Father, as we spend this holy week let us dwell in the suffering of Jesus and the example that Jesus set by going all the way in spite of this pain and burden in his life. Jesus was able to find satisfaction and contentment. You know, what a wonderful mystery, and yet the true statement, true theology that we can live by. And Holy Spirit, help us to know this truth to our heart so that we would be thankful and satisfied and fully content with all the things in this life, whether they are good or bad. May the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of the Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.